who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels sing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices call and voices cry. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wigs. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the priests.
Well, greetings everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on the transmitting Joy of the South, WWRV 3.185. Glad to have you in here with us on a Wednesday evening, or a Tuesday evening rather. We got a great program for you. If you're a Bible student tonight and you'd like to know some of the great mysteries that are afforded us from the spiritual realm, you're going to enjoy tonight. So get your pen and get your paper and let's get ready to go into the Word, because the Word is forever settled. We're living in a perilous time, as you all know. And you know what the Bible says, really? It says that the time will come that they'll say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" We've got the chaos. We got people rioting in the streets. We got wars, and we got rumors of wars. We got people that are divided and evil, running to and fro, seeking rest and finding none. We got a time of trouble such as a world has never seen. Now, did you know that a lot of people, according to the Bible, and this is the prophecy of the great prophet, the Apostle Paul, as he prophesied something that would happen in the last days. Paul's teachings and his view on the resurrections are spiritually discerned. Now, the ascension and the return are taught by two men, Paul and Peter, identical. And we're going to go into some of the things that makes the Apostle Paul one of the, perhaps the greatest apostle that ever lived. Paul says, "We express spiritual truths." And ladies and gentlemen, that's really just exactly what he done. He expressed spiritual truths. And the Bible says, he goes on to say, the Apostle Paul, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things which come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I want you to take notes here tonight. We're going to start a series here on the defense of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to show you that the evil concision, those who profess the law, yet are not keepers of the law themselves. If they were, ladies and gentlemen, then they would prove something that they really believe. Did you know that there's people today that agree together to declare Paul being false? And these are the very same people who would say that Paul was an evil one. We know that he was trained in the Jewish law. We know that he was a strict Pharisee. He made the boast himself that he was perfect in the law. I doubt if you could do that. I know I can't. But Paul said of the strictest sort. In other words, he believed as the way he had been taught by the Pharisaical council. This is what Christ despised among the Pharisees, who tried to prove that they were perfect and that he was a man of sin, because he was a friend of sinners and publicans, and he was a wine bibber, and he hung around with people of ill repute, for instance, Mary Magdalene. I know, no doubt she had one of the most wicked reputations in town. She had to be a call girl. She had seven demons in her. And she was, she was loaded with faults. Well, I'm sure tonight that you, together with me, I know that I am, I'm loaded with faults. And I believe in a resurrection. I believe in a living Messiah. I believe the one that we call Christ. I believe he came and was born into the world, and I do believe that he died and was buried, and he rose up the night of the 16th of the month. He was impaled on the torture stake at 12 o'clock. His passion began there, and at 3 o'clock, the ninth hour, he died. And then we read about the account of, now Paul giving the account of the resurrection. There is not a man in the Bible anywhere, no writer that I know of, and I've studied the Bible for 50 years, I don't know of a writer in the Bible that expressed the harmony of the death and the burial and the resurrection of a risen Savior who now went into the heavens to appear before God, the throne, and the angels, and he took control, because he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. But did you know that there is a faction, and a growing faction, of this anti-Paul movement that have gone so far to say that the Messiah escaped the resurrection and didn't die? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the epitome of Satan working in the concisional hearts of these people that want, desire, and teach that Paul done away with the law, and therefore he has to be a false prophet. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to Acts chapter 22, verse 3. I am verily a man which am a Judean, born in Taurus, a city in Sicily, yet be brought up in this city of Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel, in Acts 5:34 through 39, and taught, listen, taught according to the manner perfect of the law of the fathers, and was very zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Now, he's replying to the people that's now accusing him of being a turncoat. You know, we've got those Jews who hated him, then we've got these Christian non-Jews who hate him. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am." There is was not a man in shoe leather. After he was given the name of Paul, which is the Greek version of Saul, and in the 13th chapter of Acts, he was renamed Paul, as it says in Acts 13:9. And then Saul, who is surnamed Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him. Now you say, well, he was a Jew. Well, let me give you something right here. Romans 11:1. I say then, as the Apostle Paul, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am an Israelite. Ladies and gentlemen, there's people that will speak evil of their brothers and claim that this man, this great man here, who suffered immensely, far beyond the average layman or Christian that claims to be perfect in the law, and accuse Paul of being a lawbreaker or a confuser or a false prophet. These are the same people who stand shoulder to shoulder and breast to breast and eye to eye in agreeing that since Paul was a spiritual individual, chosen specifically, trained on both sides, if you will, of the issue here, whether Paul was a Jew. Paul was not a Jew. He worshipped as a Benjamite in the Jewish religion. Now, I have told you many times how, and everybody says, well, all the Jews are evil. Ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the biggest lies that the devil ever told. There is no truth in that, and I'm going to prove before I get through the series that Yahweh had some good, bondified people from the house of Yehuda. Or then all of the Bible is incorrect, and we can throw it all out, and we can just chop it up and believe what we want. We can deny the resurrection. But the Bible says something very, very dangerous for those who oppose the resurrection. The Bible says that if Christ did not die, Paul was the revelator of this prophetic word, which says, in the last days they will come and deny the resurrection of the Messiah of whom I preach. Now, if you think he's a false prophet, he had a revelation here, because I know personally 20 to 25 people that believe that he escaped the resurrection, had somebody to stand in for him. Now, we're talking about the Messiah. Paul said, if he hasn't risen, you're still in your sins. I don't care how much law you keep. I don't care what kind of a perfect manner, as Paul was, according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, I was zealous toward God, a Pharisee, perfect in the law. Like I said, now that perfection was in his own mind, or he was taught as the Pharisees, that he was perfect. Now, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. Romans 11, what I say then, hath God cast away his people? For God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, we could say truthfully that Paul worshipped the Jewish Pharisaical religion, and we could be quite honest about that. And we are going to tell you that Paul, although he was a Pharisee, he was converted. He was changed overnight. He was given a special calling by Yahweh himself, who visited him and spoke directly to him in the Hebrew tongue, proving that the Messiah spoke in the Hebrew tongue. Acts chapter 26, verse 14. Paul, a Benjamite, Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul was not a Jew. Paul was a Benjamite from the tribe of Jacob and Rachel, the second son of the offspring of Rachel. He was a Benjamite. So then, there was not one drop of Jewish blood other than being acquainted or being connected in kinship to the one that we call Judah. Now, everybody says that all the offspring from Judah were bad. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not believe that. I cannot accept that in my understanding of the scriptures. Some may honestly and truthfully, and I know a few that do, profess that everything that came from Judah's bloodline was corrupt. We have what is known as the ones of the day who would try to convince you that Yahweh was a liar when he said the whole house of Israel would be saved. I'm going to repeat that because that is one of the strongest and hardest scriptures in the Bible. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the stock of Israel, not of the stock of Judah, but of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now, I guarantee you that in those days, the Pharisees lived a lot closer up to a point of the law than any people, Christians that I know, and I know quite a few Christians, I don't know none that keep the law. I do not know any that keep the law perfect. I do not know any that would go and back and become a slave under the law, trudging along, offering up animal sacrifices. Well, I say, Christ came and he done away with the sacrifices. Well, if he done away with the sacrifice, that made him to be the sacrifice. Now, if he didn't die, he's not a sacrifice. If he's not risen, you, again, I don't care how good you say you are, there's none good. And you have failed from grace who desire to be under the law. Now, I know that these things are very hard. And Paul again says that by spiritual discernment, in Acts chapter 22, verse 25, Paul got in trouble with the people that he used to worship with. Remember, he was accused of being a turncoat. He was accused by the lying Jews. Now, there is a segment of Jews in the earth, a large segment, who are not Jews, but are those who are called Jews. The tribe of Judah was one of the most powerful and honored tribes in the Bible. Hands down, probably the largest tribe of the whole, the 13 tribes, was the house of Judah. They encamped in the sacred circle. Their position was on the east side of the sacred circle. And they were the first ones, along with the other tribes, to break camp. They were the frontline soldiers. And when they broke ones of Yehuda, the praisers of Yah. And so then, not all of these who call themselves Jews, I know there's a lot that call themselves Jews, but the Messiah, and this is not Paul's writing, but it's the Messiah, but it agrees with Paul, but not all who say that they're Jews are Jews. Acts 23, verse 6. Paul, again, as a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, was in trouble in the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts. It seems like every time that you read about Paul, who supposedly, this is what makes these anti-Paul people so mad, he wrote 13 books in the Bible. But the people that are anti-Paul say that he was a false prophet, and Yahweh allowed him to come in and write 13 false books. And therefore, we shouldn't pay any attention to what Paul said. And yet, Paul, along with Peter, and if you've ever studied the message of the resurrection, outside the Messiah, who said he would raise again, that's basically all he had to say about it. And he told them what day he would raise, and he did. And they confirmed it with witnesses. But the spiritual application of the doctrine of the resurrection, the most powerful element of belief to a Christian. For if Christ did not die, then we, again, are still in our sins. And our labor, and our work, and our faith is in vain. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter are two of the most preeminent mighty ones who revealed through revelation, spiritually inspired, and Paul's account of the resurrection and Peter's account of the resurrection 100% agree. Now, if Paul was a false prophet, why would he say the day would come that people would turn from the truth and begin to bite and devour and to sow discord to try to tear down the doctrine of the resurrection through the revelation? Ladies and gentlemen, these people that don't believe in Paul, because they want to go back to the law, the whole purpose of the Son of God manifesting himself in a flesh body, Yahweh in a flesh body, was for the purpose of coming to suffer and to die. And they bound him with cords. Acts 22, verse 25 through 28. Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to beat a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. And then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, are you a Roman? And he said, yeah. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum I obtained this freedom that I have to be a Roman. And Paul said, I was born free. Oh, my. But in Acts 23, verse 6, but when Paul perceived that some were part of the great throne that were beating him, that some of them were Sadducees, and the others was Pharisees, Paul with his wisdom, now listen folks, he's about to be beaten to death, stoned to death. He cried out to the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. I am called into question. Did you know that these Jews, those that said they were Jews, now the good often expresses, but then the Jews believed on him. But then the Jews, and this word Jew is synonymous in exchange, if you will. It's almost like a slang word from the house of Yehuda. But when the Yehudans heard of this message, they said, "We will hear more." Or some believed, and they were baptized, ladies and gentlemen, by Peter and by Paul and by the disciples. No question asked. They did not shy away from baptizing those from the house of Judah. And for people to come and try to tear down the basis of the hope of our calling. For this cause, I am called into question because I, who was once a Pharisee, now he admitted he was a Pharisee here. He didn't say he once was. But he used this fact that he was. He didn't lie to save his life. And then it began to divide the groups. For the Pharisees said, "Wait a minute, he believes like we do. We're not going to kill him." Because Paul lived as a Pharisee, and he kept the law according to the strict sect of the religion. The Hebrew of Hebrews, faultless in legistic righteousness, Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. And the Pharisees were the major sect of the Jewish faith, whose insistence on ritual observation of the letter rather than the spirit. You see that? These people that say they're under the law, they want to be under the law, and yet they don't do what the law says that they have to do to gain favor under the law. Did you know that even those people that live back under the law, they could not live good enough to make it in? Did you know that there had to be an animal sacrifice for them once a year by the high priest to offer the blood for all of the house of Israel? One time a year, this offering was made for the sins of those who lived under the law. Now, he that sins shall die. And if you don't have a redeeming resurrection covenant, you will not be partakers of the day when Paul said he will split, the heavens will roll back like a scroll, and he will come on the clouds, and he himself, the Messiah, said himself in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 31, "When I come, I will come with all of my holy angels. Then I will sit upon my throne, and I will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And for that, I will bring salvation through grace, for it is written, all Israel," I'm going to repeat this now, just to make a devil mad, all Israel, not 99%, all Israel, who is Israel? Now there is those who say they are of Israel and are not. All Israel shall be saved. Now, let's move down again to the death of Stephen. Acts 7:58, "And they cast Stephen out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." Now, you know what? The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, "And Saul, who was enforcing his calling as a Pharisee, chosen, and he was actually given papers once in his pocket to kill anybody that acknowledged the Messiah and the resurrection." And then we've got Christians saying there ain't no resurrection. baptized in the name of Yahweh. See, Paul thought it was a blasphemy to use the name of Yahweh in public. He had been taught that through the Sanhedrin, and he was one of the strictest Pharisees, and he himself went and requested warrants that he might pursue these Christians, these believers of what? Believers of the Messiah, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and forgiveness of sins through his name, through water baptism. That was Paul's message, ladies and gentlemen. Is there something false about that? He was the greatest supporter of the one that we call the Messiah. Nowhere did he contradict him in the Bible. People say, he preached against the Messiah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it seems like to me that it's these Christians that are denying the resurrection. Oh, yeah, I know personally, I could name personally people right today out of the Christian identity movement who believe that Christ escaped the resurrection, faked his own death, and went to India and had children and lived to be over 100 years old. Now that is the ultimate blasphemy. To believe that our Messiah would come and suffer like he did, and then at the moment of death, put somebody else on the torture stake. You say, well, but I've never heard nobody believe that. Well, you just probably haven't got into the depth of the doctrine that's going around. Right in on our own movement of what we call Christian identity. They are now teaching that the Messiah faked his death and escaped the resurrection. Now, Paul said, now if this is false, somebody help me here. Paul said, if Christ didn't die, and if Christ didn't raise, we were still in our sins. Is that false? Would anybody, under the sound of my voice tonight, could they say that Paul was a false prophet when he said that he had a hope in the resurrection? When the Messiah said, I will raise, and all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, after he raised, in the book of Matthew 28, verses 19, when he preached his own resurrection and told people, and ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the resurrection, the greatest prophet of the resurrection tonight is the Apostle Paul. He wrote more scriptures concerning the resurrection than any man in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, and those who condemn him when he said in a prophetic word that they would come in the last days mockers and scoffers and say that there was no resurrection and it would destroy the faith of some. And we got that going along in our movement. It must be condemned. It must be rebuked. And it must be dealt with by the Holy Ghost and by the power of the written word, by the Apostle Paul, by the Apostle Peter, and by the Acts of the Apostles in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, you may want to cut that one out because Paul wrote it. I even know of some people in our movement that have literally cut out the 13 books and questioned some more scriptures of that which they propose that maybe Paul wrote, and they won't even quote from that and cut it out of the Bible. They won't even carry the gospel of Paul. That's how on his journey. Acts 22:6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was coming nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me. And Saul, after that he was blinded, in Acts 9:8-9, he arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. That was a forced fast through blindness. Would you not be terrified that you had an encounter on the Damascus road? And a light above the noonday sun would actually literally burn your eyes and scar them and sear them till you couldn't even see. The Bible said he fasted without sight for 3 days and 3 nights. And in the 11th verse, and then Yahweh said unto him, Ananias, arise and go to the street that is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas. That's Hellenization for Judah, or in the Hebrew, Yehuda. Everybody wants to really make a big deal out of the word Judah or Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, get with the program here. I have talked over 50 hours on how that the serpent got into the house of Israel and defiled Judah with the acts of marrying a Canaanite woman. Now, this was meant to be, because Yahweh would not have permitted this unless it had been his will. Although Judah broke the law of mixing his blood because he was drawn away and enticed of his lust. You say, oh, well, glory to God, he sinned. Well, you show me one that hadn't sinned and without sin. When he brought forth these sons, two of them killed, Er and Onan, and then Shelah, the third offspring, was hidden. And this is the one that went down to Egypt and stayed there for 400 years, multiplied along with Simeon's Canaanite son. These are the two Canaanite sons. And you'll find that in the book of Genesis, chapter 46, verses 10 and 12. And so then we have now the blood of Simeon and the blood of Judah, both of them bearing Canaanite sons. You'll never hear nothing about Judah or Simeon, but it's always Judah is the bad boy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that Israel was given up and divorced and separated, the 10 northern tribes first, and then finally the house of Yehuda. They were scattered and sent into the city of Babylon. And there they stayed for 70 years. Israel was to never return. There was a segment of good figs and bad figs in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23 and 24. Yahweh blessed these brethren that came back to the fellowship or to rebuild the temple and to continue until they got again so disorderly that he cast them out of his sight. Now, where did the good figs go? Where were they? And everybody wants to compare Judah as a fig and Israel as an olive tree and say that they were from two different stocks. And that's not true. The analogy of the fig was to separate the difference between the house of Judah, where they separated, and we have now two sticks. And the Bible is prophetic in that in the proper time, Yahweh will bring both of these sticks back in to one stick. that day, you will see the street, the cross street of both houses. Paul, who received his sight through Ananias in the 17th verse of the book of Acts, chapter 9, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house where Paul was sitting. And he put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, Ananias, a Holy Ghost man, Yahweh, that appeared unto you in the way as you came, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, and it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that these law people don't even believe in baptism? They don't believe in government. They won't sit under a pastor. And Paul, the reason why, is because Paul put the house in order and told us just exactly what we must do as a body. Now, all this was approved by Peter, by James, and John. They were apostles. They were set in order. If you've got anything against Paul for preaching, sitting under a shepherd or a pastor, then you need to go and sit under Peter, who, when Ananias and Sapphira, we got a few of them in our movement, for sure, when they held back part of the price, this shepherd, Peter, he pronounced upon them death. And both of them died, and fear came upon the assembly. And they were abiding in the apostles' doctrine. You say, well, Paul was he is a self-appointed apostle. Well, I'll remind you of this. Paul made a mention that he was chosen out of season, and he was. But he was the ambassador of the message to the lost house, the sheep of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, and straightway, in Acts chapter 9, having his sight restored, Saul is baptized, he recovers, and at once begins to preach the message that Yahweh is our Savior. Acts chapter 9, verse 20 proves, and straightway he preached Christ, the anointed, in the synagogues, that he was the Son of God, and that he died for our sins, the perfect ultimate sacrifice where you couldn't offer, because heaven will search for you, and if you'd have been perfect, he'd have waited for your generation. You who claim that you now are righteous by the works of the law, Paul said, you must proclaim that by the works of the law, it's filthy rags. And if you're going to be washed, you have to be washed in the blood. Now, if he didn't die, you're still in your sins, and you don't have no blood to be washed in. Washed in the blood? What does that mean, Pastor? But that means genetically associated with the offspring of the house of Jacob, our father. Now, ladies and gentlemen, many deceivers have entered in, but Paul straightway preached. Straightway. That means immediately began to preach. In Acts 9:22, Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that he was the Messiah. Here we go in the book of Galatians, ladies and gentlemen. Get your pencils and paper. You'll enjoy this segment of the Apostle Paul, Galatians 1:17. Neither, when he was questioned, did I go up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Well, I don't think that the Apostle Peter, I don't believe that he would have kept him about 15 days and treated him with hospitality if he'd have been an evil disciple. Galatians 1:18, after 3 years. So, well, let's just, Paul wrote that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll give you some more scriptures that Peter wrote about Paul. So, you see, you're not going to escape denying that Peter and Paul were friends. If you want to know how friendly they were, read the 10th chapter of the book of Acts and then read the 11th chapter. And then you'll know who Peter himself, being afraid of the Jews, compelled those who were Israelites, like Cornelius of the Italian band. He was an Italian Israelite, if you want to know. And so in Acts 9:30, which when the brother knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. And here he goes in Acts 11:26. And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Peter, who said himself that his friend, Paul, that many of the ignorant and unlearned, I'm going to say this again, when I hear these people deny that Paul was a true missionary to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I know what's wrong. They have been deceived and blinded by the Pharisaical spirit, the same spirit that blinded Paul. And maybe they need an encounter at Damascus on Straight Street where that they can understand that this great man who was friends with the rest of the apostles. And again, if you don't believe that, read the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. You say, well, we don't even believe the book of Acts. Well, take that one out. Just remove everything that smacks of a resurrection. You might as well go ahead and do it, because if you keep going and tearing out the pages of the Bible, there's not going to be nothing left for you to hold on to. You say, well, we'll have the law, and that's when I'll be happy. Do you keep the Sabbath? You don't even know when it is. You don't know how it was kept. You don't know what order that it comes in. Do you build altars? Do you wear tassels? Do you round the corners of your beard? You say, I don't even have one. Well, you're breaking the law. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to the law than what you imagine. You don't want to be under the law. But people that had that burden, that albatross, that great weight, that millstone around their neck, and you say that Paul is a false prophet because he preached against the law, he gives you the information that would make you free from the condemnation of the law. Who are you that profess that you are righteous? Those of you who boast in the law, by sinning and becoming victims of the very law that you say that you're keeping. Because the Messiah said, I gave you the law, and none of you who kept it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Paul traveled extensively throughout the region. He was the farthest missionary that we know of. And he went to the brethren, wherever Yahweh sent him. Listen to this. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul. Paul the apostle by the will of Yahweh. And Paul brought the gospel out into the lost 10 tribes of the house of Israel. Now, the way we get 13 tribes, and we know that there's 13 apostles, Paul being the last one chosen out of season, he said. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that means that for each head, there is a covenant for the people of Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, some people might say, well, why is it there are only 12 gates into the city and there's 13 tribes? Well, let me ask you a question. Why was the tribe of Dan, why was it excluded from the circle in the book of Revelation? Simply because they were on international seafares and had no land to set the temple on. And so then, by their authority, they were outside the circle. And if you've ever kept an altar, if you know how to build one, you could understand these great mysteries that we teach here in the Shepherd's Call ministry, that we establish the faith of the law. We establish the faith of the law through the resurrection of our Messiah. Now, you got my message here tonight, part one of this message, as we continue the Acts of the Serpent, which this is in the fourth in the series of the Acts of the Serpent. We'll include this in the series of the Acts of the Serpent. If you would like to have this message in its entirety, we'll probably do one more message on this subject, Yahweh willing. And if you would like to have it, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. I'm proud of the great men that I've known from the house of Judah. I have some great and wonderful friends, mighty ones, who stand toe-to-toe, breast-to-breast, and eye-to-eye to represent the great tribe of Judah. Oh, yes, Judah failed and sinned and come short. So did you. Do you have any reason to throw a rock at him? By grace you're saved, through faith, that not of yourself. It is a divine gift. This is the message that Paul preached. No wonder they don't want it. They want the rigors of the law, but the Bible said they that broke the law died without mercy. Are you sure you want it? Are you sure that you could live under the law perfect without breaking it? Because when you broke it, you died. You had no mercy. Now, Paul came preaching the mercy of a resurrection. We love you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We know that for those who love him are called and they're chosen and they're full of special anointing. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on the Laid Out Praise Yahweh. And if you would like to write me, you can just write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. I'm sponsored tonight by my great friend, Brother Mark, and Sister Audrey, down in the great state of Mississippi. We love you and we love them. And we send this racial covenant message out to you tonight. Brother Blake is coming in here to chase us off here, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to go. Our time is up and coming on. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on the transmitting Jewel South WWRB 3.185, the Clear Channel. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got part 5 coming up tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night. Tune in. We'll see you then. We love you.